Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane Lance's teaching in Judges 10 called A Cycle of Misery.
There's a clip that I saw when I was in high school. It's very moving, and it's John Piper many years ago. He's teaching in front of like a 30,000 person crowd at this giant Christian festival. And he tells the story of this bus that has a group of missionaries, and some of you may have seen this clip, and he tells the story that the bus went over the side of a cliff in the midst of this trip, and two of the women who were on the bus were on the forefront of missions work. They had been busy building the kingdom of God, serving orphanages and doing ministry on the front lines, and the bus went over the cliff, and everybody on the bus tragically died. And he reads a clip of this article that was in a magazine reporting the happenings and the accident. He says that the article in the magazine closes and says, "What a tragedy." And then he said he turned the page in the magazine, and the next article was about a couple who had retired in their 40s, and they were spending the rest of their days on a private island collecting seashells for their seashell collection. And John Piper, in a very powerful way, said, "The first story is not the tragedy. The second story is the tragedy." And he says, "That's the tragedy. That these people think that the way that they ought to live their life is to spend the rest of their days collecting seashells, living for the pleasures of this world." And John Piper says, kind of tongue in cheek, "What are they going to say when they stand before God Almighty? Look, God, my shell collection." And so the question has to be asked of us tonight: what are you living for? I don't want to leave behind a legacy like GR. Oh, yeah. Shane, he had a lot of money. Not a great guy, but he had a lot of money. Didn't care too much about other people, but he had a lot of stuff. You know, when you die and you're rotting in the ground, there's going to be other people debating where all your stuff should go. And you're not going to take any of it with you. And this life, James says, it's like a vapor. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And so if you're living for your own kingdom to build up riches, I see these ads now on Instagram all the time of Christian financial gurus trying to teach Christians how to build up a little fortune for themselves. Look, there's nothing wrong with being well off. In fact, there are probably people in this room who are really well to do with your money. That is not a problem. The problem is when your money becomes your God. That's when it becomes a problem. When greed and jealousy and envy begin to take over. I remember years ago I taught in the youth, and I taught on a Sunday out of Proverbs, and I talked about riches. And I remember coming across an article in my time of studying about just real reports from real billionaires in our culture at the time. This is probably back in 2015, so about, you know, 10 years ago. And I remember doing this study and finding this article, and it was just like honest stories of the things that these real life billionaires deal with on a regular basis. Random people calling their houses and asking for loans and asking for them to gift them money. Family feuds, family splits, family drama, all because of money. And one of the guys, I'll never forget, in the article, in his quote said, "It's just not all people think it's cracked up to be." A billionaire can do whatever he wants as far as worldly, you know, things go. Can have anything that's materialistic that he wants. And he says it's just not all it's cracked up to be. There was, I think it's Harrison Ford in an interview. Maybe it was Jim Carrey. I can't remember. It was a famous actor who said, "I wish everybody could have $1 million. So they could see that it won't make them happy." And unfortunately, JR leaves a legacy behind that just simply says he had a lot of stuff. And so, One commentator says, it seems that he was just living to build his own kingdom and not really looking out for the well-being of the people of Israel. Men in power who seek to serve self over everything always negatively impact the people whom they're leading. And is there anything new under the sun? We have many people in positions of power right now in our own government who are far more concerned about their own wealth than about the well-being of the people. And we see how it negatively impacts our culture. And there are lessons to be learned from past judges. JR could have looked at past judges and said, okay, what are the lessons that we can learn from our recent nation's history so that we don't repeat the same mistakes? He could have been proactive in teaching the people to be prepared for when the next tragedy would come, when the next quarrel with another nation would come. But yet, JR is another judge who seemingly does nothing to prepare the people for any future trials or operate in what would be called maybe godly wisdom. So sure, JR's time seems peaceful, but comfort can, well, it can brew complacency. Here's Robert Chisholm Jr. In his commentary on Judges and Ruth. He says, when unwise and inconsistent Gideon planted a seed of discord, chaos resulted as his son, the power-hungry megalomaniac, that's just somebody who's obsessed with their own power, Abimelech, tried to become Israel's king. And the people who supported him brought conflict and violence to the covenant community. But God punished the perpetrators and restored a semblance of order in the land. Unfortunately, though, Gideon's bad example of acting like a king was perpetuated by JR. So it would seem that the model from Gideon is just passed along to JR. And comfort can certainly, if you're taking notes, this would be something worth writing down. Comfort can brew complacency. I love a good cup of coffee. Isn't it great when a cup of coffee is brewing and you can smell the coffee? I had a teacher in high school that would always brew coffee. She was my first period teacher, my senior year of high school. And she was always brewing fresh coffee. It's just like, that's just like so cruel, you know? It's like a one cup. You know, there's 30 students in there. It's like 7:30 in the morning and she's brewing this wonderful smelling coffee, right? That's a wonderful thing that's brewing. But when complacency is brewing in the heart of a human being, it is rather ugly and stinky. And when God gives us seasons of rest, we can be full of gratitude for that season while also preparing our heart, soul, and mind for the storms that inevitably lie ahead. So here's some practical application for you. And this is what I'm getting at with JR. He didn't prepare the people for the storms that were to come. And you and I both know, if you've been walking with Jesus for any period of time, that the storms, they're gonna come. It's not a matter of if, but when. Jesus promises hardships in this life, but he says to take heart because he has overcome. But we still ought to do our due diligence in preparing our hearts and minds for when those trials come. Barry Webb says this. He says, sadly, though, good times often have the opposite effect. Rest and prosperity lull, that should say lull, not laugh out loud, lull people, maybe that too, into self-indulgence and a false sense of security. Please hear this quote, because this one hit me like a bag of bricks. The bitter lessons of the past are soon forgotten. It is assumed that the good times will last forever and that no preparation for anything different is needed. People become self-focused and forgetful of God. They live in the present with little thought to either the past or the future. The pursuit of the, quote, good life, which is thought of mainly in terms of material and social advancement, becomes an end in and of itself. Leaders too, sorry, there's a lot of typos in this because I dictated it speech. Siri failed me. Leaders too become seduced into a way of life that is, that if not plainly immoral, is a weak and insipid reflection of the watchfulness and service that should be their hallmarks. And when the next crisis comes, this is key, it finds them and those they lead woefully unprepared. Good times have their hazards just as bad times do. And the dangers of peace and prosperity are more insidious because they are less obvious and come upon us gradually. That's not supposed to say Jeremy. I'm just going to say that we have seen, that's supposed to say JR may have seen, JR's lifestyle may have seemed innocent. The simple enjoyment of God's given prosperity, but it led to an ostentation and excess that was not good for him or those he led. And please hear this in our modern day. Churches pastored by such men may become large and prosperous, but they will not be able to be spiritually strong, and they will not be able to stand when hard times come. We need to be prepared for the seasons of drought. My daughter and I have been reading at night through, she has a little kid's Bible. One of my favorite stories in all of Scripture is the life of Joseph.
You'll hear more from Pastor Shane Lance in a moment.
Hey there, are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder. You can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk, or maybe you're doing the dishes. Anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God, Pastor Michael and the entire Walk in Truth team is here for you. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app, or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio, any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded.
Feeling overwhelmed, in need of prayer, counsel, or just someone to listen? Look no further than Walk in Truth. Our compassionate team of pastors is here for you. Whether you need guidance, a prayer partner, or simply a friendly ear, we are ready to support you. Call Walk in Truth at 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. Our dedicated pastors are available to speak with you every Tuesday through Friday during normal business hours. Remember, you don't have to face life's challenges alone. Reach out to Walk in Truth at 844-48-TRUTH. 844-48-TRUTH. We're here to listen, support, and guide you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show.
Now, back to Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane, on Walk in Truth.
Rest and prosperity lull, that should say lull, not laugh out loud, lull people, maybe that too, into self-indulgence and a false sense of security. Please hear this quote, because this one hit me like a bag of bricks. The bitter lessons of the past are soon forgotten. It is assumed that the good times will last forever and that no preparation for anything different is needed. People become self-focused and forgetful of God. They live in the present with little thought to either the past or the future. The pursuit of the, quote, good life, which is thought of mainly in terms of material and social advancement, becomes an end in and of itself. Leaders, too, sorry, there's a lot of typos in this because I dictated it speech. Siri failed me. Leaders, too, become seduced into a way of life that is, that if not plainly immoral, is a weak and insipid reflection of the watchfulness and service that should be their hallmarks. And when the next crisis comes, this is key, it finds them and those they lead woefully unprepared. Good times have their hazards just as bad times do. And the dangers of peace and prosperity are more insidious because they are less obvious and come upon us gradually. That's not supposed to say Jeremy. I'm just going to say that we have seen, that's supposed to say JR may have seen, JR's lifestyle may have seemed innocent. The simple enjoyment of God's given prosperity, but it led to an ostentation and excess that was not good for him or those he led. And please hear this in our modern day. Churches pastored by such men may become large and prosperous, but they will not be able to be spiritually strong, and they will not be able to stand when hard times come. We need to be prepared for the seasons of drought. My daughter and I have been reading at night through, she has a little kid's Bible, one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture is the life of Joseph. And I'm reminded of Joseph saying to Pharaoh, a drought is coming. And if we want to make it through that drought, we need to store up food now. And Egypt became a safe haven for surrounding nations to come and buy food in the time of drought and famine. And here's a question for you tonight. Are you prepared for a spiritual drought? Have you stored up the Word of God in your heart so that if that season comes where it's a drought and it feels like you're out of strength, you have something to fall back on? Or are you just scraping by, living spiritually paycheck to paycheck, Sunday to Sunday? Or are you storing up the Word of God in your heart? Leaders and men of God and women of God that do that will be sustained. But people who try to live by just going to church in this culture, the average Christian evangelical professing family in America, is statistics show they go to church 1 out of every 5 Sundays. That is not going to sustain us. And so verse 6 of chapter 10, we'll read 6 through 9, says, the people of Israel, now here's where it just takes a dump, right? Jair dies, he's buried, and in the wake of his death, here we go again. The cycle of misery, verse 6. The people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. What the text is trying to show us is that they're digressing further and further. More gods and more pagan nations are now in this list. Now they're serving even more pagan gods. And the pagan influence and the moral corruption around them is infiltrating God's people. Do you see the parallel to our churches today? That the things of the culture, the pagan practices of this world, are infiltrating the church. I was in upstate New York leading worship at a conference last year, and there were so many churches waving the pride flags in their courtyards. And it's all in the name of acceptance. But the problem, guys, is that it's expressly against the will of God. And we're not loving people by telling them to live in sin. That's not love. Love speaks the truth because we love. That's why we speak the truth. That's why we stand on the precepts of God's word. And so they forsook the Lord and they did not serve him. And in verse 7 says, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the Ammonites. And they crushed and oppressed the people of Israel that year for 18 years. They oppressed all the people of Israel who were beyond the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. And the Ammonites crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was severely distressed. It's like that. The blink of an eye, everything turns to chaos again. There's wars breaking out everywhere. Verse 7 says that the Ammonites crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and the house of Ephraim. And all of a sudden, Israel is completely under attack again. They're in trouble. There's a direct correlation between the nation turning their back on God, pursuing pagan worship, idolatry, sinful behavior, and God's favor is lifted. And all of a sudden, they're crashing and burning. The plane is going down because they've turned their back on God. That first line in verse 6, and again, the people did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Proverbs 1:32 says, for the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. The reason I spent so much time on this minor judge, J.R., is because we see a direct correlation, I believe, in the text of the leadership, the precedent that he set in his leadership, the example that he set, and how it ripple affected into passivity within the nation. And Proverbs 1:32 just hits the nail on the head. The simple are killed by turning away, and complacency of fools destroys them. You know, the Bible warns over and over again, especially to Christians, to not be passive, to not be lazy. Proverbs often says, woe to the man who is passive, woe to the sluggard. And here's another question for you tonight. Are you lazy in your faith? Are you passive in your faith? Or are you busy seeking Christ? Man, I wish that I could tell you guys tonight that, man, I'm always on it, man. I'm always chasing after the things of God. But that would be a lie. I have many times, sometimes I've had days with two little kids trying to work, you know, I'm doing side work, working a job here, trying to keep up with my marriage. And sometimes my head hits the pillow at night and I'm like, oh, hey, Lord. Sorry about that. I kind of didn't talk to you today. Kind of forgot about that. Probably would have made my day a lot better if I had actually been in communication with you. How many of you have been there before? And so we need to be putting Christ and his kingdom and his will for our lives on the forefront of our minds. The word has strong warnings for those who are lukewarm, Christians who are just on the fence. And so we ought not to be lukewarm. We should be chasing after the heart of God, pursuing his kingdom and his will. There's an obvious propensity in every man, woman, and child to wander and to turn our backs on God. And this is not new. If we go back to the book of Joshua, it's on the screen for you if you don't want to turn there, but it's just the previous book. In Joshua 24, this is a section of scripture many of us will know. Some of you have plaques in your houses that say this, but are you living it out? It looks real cute. I got it at Hobby Lobby. It was on sale. But are you living it out? Fathers in the room tonight, fathers watching the live stream, are you actually leading your family? Are you actually leading your kids towards Christ? Or are you just talking about it? Because your talk might fool me as one of your pastors, and it might fool the people around you, but God sees through the mask, through the facade. He's not interested in words, but in a posture of heart and in action. And in Joshua 24, the nation is cheating on God again, talking about pagan worship and idols. And so here's Joshua in Joshua 24. He says to the nation who is talking about who has turned their back largely on God again, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity, not just in word, but in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then you choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a powerful, bold statement from Joshua. He says, you guys make your decision, but as for me and my kids, as for me and my bride, we will serve the Lord. And we need more men and women in this culture to stand up and be willing to say to the culture, no, you want to do that? You live that way. Because you'll answer to God. But for me and my house, as for us, we're serving the Lord. And we're not going to bow to the gods of this world. And so Joshua takes a bold stand. And I'm reminded of the lyrics of Come Thou Fountain, a song that we sing often, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God that I love. The decisions that you make today and your commitment to God today, I believe have a great impact on the lives of your children and grandchildren. Setting the precedent now that your family is going to serve the Lord.
You've been listening to A Cycle of Misery, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane's teaching in Judges chapter 10. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lance. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for the conclusion of Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane's teaching in Judges 10 called A Cycle of Misery.
We have tendencies, and God is trying to strip us of those sinful behaviors and desires, and we sometimes hold on, we're white-knuckling it. No, God, I got it. I want this. This will be good for me. And God's like, let it go. It is not doing you any favors. And so I love that in Psalm 119. Through my affliction, I've learned the statutes of God.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lantz and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.